talk a little bit about Jamie Collins. What have you seen in him this week, and how do you feel about him being?
Yeah, Jamie is very impressive in his football IQ. I would assume the hardest transition for a player like that is coming in and you know, at New England, they were a hybrid 3-4, 4-3, depending on what game they were playing. So he knows what we play in the position. But to come in the first day and learn a new language and to be able to, you know, flip it in his mind and look very smooth in doing it was very impressive. You know, very athletic, very smart, dynamic. So it's been, from on the outside, appears an easy transition for him. And, you know, we're going to ask a lot of him and obviously see what he can handle. But so far it's been, I've been really impressed with his smarts and his savvy and athleticism on the field and really off the field, too, of just learning something and not hesitating to translate it in his mind.
We have two inside linebackers who are playing pretty well. I assume he'll play outside?
He'll play all over for us. He's a joy to watch move around on the football field and range. And so he gives you the ability to do a couple things and put different people on the field, different packages, because you got to account for him to be different places. So I wouldn't say he's necessarily just going to be an inside guy for us.
How much impact can one guy like that have on your defense?
I hope a lot. And some of them may not show up in the statistic category. Some of it shows up on the practice field of, this is how you prepare, this is how you play. And obviously when you come from a Pro Bowl and from a known program, you know, guys look and go, oh, okay, well, let me see how he does things. And it's a great comparison. How do we do things? And you know, as you go in your different places, you bring somebody in, I think it validates what you do. And it's like, oh, yeah, all we do is work hard. We work hard and we do our job and we make plays. And so it doesn't matter what city you're in. It's just, it's football. It's on the same dimensions always, and you go in, and so it doesn't matter what it is. It's either indoors or outdoors, but it's always the same dimension. It's just how you make plays on the football field. And I think sometimes, oh, well, I thought it was this. No, man, it's football. You know, you just go tackle the guy and get the guy with the ball and hit the quarterback.
Ray, he obviously come here by choice, and the Patriots are Patriots, a contender. You guys are looking for a first win. So how has his attitude been from your perspective, considering those factors?
Outstanding. You know, we talked to him on the phone before he got here and when he arrived, and since then we haven't said a word to him. And if you watch him on the field, he's very intelligent, very bright. He understands, I think, what the NFL is, and we talk to our players all the time anyway. And this is a business first, and then you know after that you just do what you do. And he's very happy to be here, and he's looking forward to the game, and he's moved on.
Is it a legitimate concern that somebody would be disappointed to go from a winning team to one like this, or do you think it's overrated?
Well, I think it's human nature you want to win, you want to be successful, but he also understands the opportunity that he has in front of him here to be, you know, be a huge difference maker, where at someplace else you may be one of the guys, so I think he's excited. I think he's genuine. I think he, once you get to know him, it's easy to say something, but it's another to look a man in the eye and go, yeah, he's excited, and he's been fantastic here. He really has been.
I see your guys, you know, in the locker room, Chris Kirksey and, mm-hmm. and those guys, like, really kind of interacting with him. It almost just seems like he's been around forever. He's fitting in pretty well.
Well, I think he fits in because what he does on the field, first of all, and then how bright he is. And obviously when you get a good player, you want to acquire talent. And you can't fool players. Players know talent when they see it. They see it across the field. They see it on the film. And then now they see it in the huddle with them. And so, sure, we're going to embrace him because we're trying to get, you know, better players, more talented players, and put a better product on the field. And this is, you know, a great step in that direction.
Synergistic effect where your defensive guys, you know, they rise to the occasion a little bit around him even this week?
I would hope so, because I think he creates issues for the offense, and he also has the ability to create dynamic plays for us, you know, so he affects us in what he can do on the field And obviously he's going to create some issues for the offense on what they do and how they look at us.
How do you stop Ezekiel Elliott? He's kind of on a tear here and running through opponents like through butter. So what do you do to try and slow him up?
This is taking me back to my high school and college days watching the USC Trojans. It is amazing, and it's been years since I've seen an offensive line like this, where they are fantastic across the line. They understand in my vernacular of how to get a hat on a hat. They know who to block, how to block them, and where that guy is going to be. They get to the second level. They have fantastic feet. They wall, and it's if you guys have ever seen the Vince Lombardi segment where he draws a play on the board and he gets an X in the alley, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at outstanding offensive linemen that understand how to play the game and play it very well at a high level together across the board, five men. So Ezekiel is benefiting from a fantastic offensive line, and what's impressive about him is his contact, his ability to stay up, run through arm tackles, and then you see his athleticism when he's leaping over the defensive backs at the next level. So we have talked about this offensive line. Just, they are gorgeous to watch, just what they do in concert with one another. So our job starts up front with that offensive line.
Well, how do you deal with that? How do you kind of combat?
Challenge our strength up front with our guys, our technique. And we've made a point that this team is driven, really, everybody knows the marquee guys' names, but this team is really, the offensive team is built up front. And we've got to be man on man and move our feet, outstanding techniques and fundamentals, because that's all they do. They know who to block and how to get there. It's outstanding to watch these guys play. And for a purist, you know, I know everybody follows the ball when it's snapped, but you know, if you take a peek before you follow the ball and watch their alignment, it's pretty to watch. It's for a purist, it's what football is. It's, you know, your hand in the ground, and it's football up front. That's where it starts. That's it, where you win the game. So we've got to win the game up front. That's what they run and press, and it is. It's football the way it was meant to play way back when. Before, you know, everything got, you know, throw the ball over your head and, you know, deep down come back and throw it to your outside, you know, big wide receivers.
You're right. Carl Nassib has the club off. It looks like mm-hmm. he's kind of back to a more regular workload. What's kind of the next step in his development?
This will be a huge test for really our guys, because it's not a game where you can take advantage or like, hey, we've got a guy that, you know, is not on par. Their guys are on par. It's going to be an outstanding test for us as far as how we develop and where we go from here. And so for Carl, it's just continue. He's a very bright kid, and he's energetic, and it's just taking that next step of against a very good team, a team that when you look at what they're doing, you know, they've got the longest win streak in the NFL right now after the first week of losing to the Giants, of playing, you know, playoff brand football. And it's where we want to get. And when you look at their organization, you know, from way back when everybody was talking about Mr. Jones and this and that, well, Mr. Jones is probably going to be the executive of the year, whether he's the owner or whether he's the GM. And he built his team. You know, there was issues with his team, and he built his team the way he wanted to. And what we're talking about, you get good players and you go, well, this is playoff football. These guys are going to be in the playoffs because they're very, very good at what they do. And for us, it's going to be a great measuring stick to play. This is what playoff football is supposed to be like. You build a front, you run the ball, and then you play action pass. And, you know, the quarterback is benefiting from the running back who's playing well and the O-line who gives them time. And, you know, whether it's Beasley in the slot or Witten in the red zone, and, you know, you have Dez on the outside, you build a good team, and you get ready to run the ball, because you got to run the ball when it gets cold, and that's playoff time.
As you just said, you know, the parts around Prescott are there, and they're good. But what do you see in him that makes him a rookie who's able to you know, take advantage of those pieces around him?
Yeah, great poise. You watch him in the pocket, his feet, his decision making, the boots. He when he gets out of the pocket, he's looking to throw first versus run. He can run. You know, his runs show up in the red zone. from the very first game against the Giants to the last one against Philadelphia. Just him checking in and out of plays and putting them in the right position, and he appears to have, you know, complete command of the offense now, because he makes a lot of checks at the line. Not many mistakes. His two picks were one, the ball got away from him in Green Bay. It was low and away, and you know, their defender made a great play. And last week against Philadelphia, he was coming to his secondary receiver, and they fell off. So, you know, he's there's only a couple guys with less picks than him, and one is Tom Brady, and Cody Kessler is the other one. So he's been impressive and solid and not stepping outside the boundaries of the play or the game for them.
When you look at back at the Jets game, what do you think the biggest difference was from first half to second half?
Lack of turnovers in the second half. Our guys came out really ready to go. I mean, they were foaming at the mouth to come out, and we had the chance early to make the second play of that drive, I think, to make an impact play, and we didn't make it. And, you know, for us, we've got to get tackles and turnovers. And I go back to just fundamental football of what Dallas is doing. That's what we've got to do. There's no secret to what we're doing. You play well, and at some point, you've got to turn the tide, and usually it's with a great tackle, a third down stop, or turnovers.
There was a couple of your guys talked about the Jets making adjustments and the Browns not. And I know post-game frustration. Was that anything to do with that?
I didn't see a different play that they ran. They didn't run a flea flicker. They didn't run a reverse pass. They didn't run a toss sweep. They executed a little better than we did. I don't remember what the longest play was in the second half, but I don't remember them making a – they didn't change personnel. They kept their same four wide and their three wide. I didn't see a play different from them. I heard, you know, Coach Bowles' talk afterwards. He just said, we got our kicked in the first half, and you got to come out like a man and play football. And they kind of just came out and executed a little better, I thought.
Missed tackles, and from your perspective, has it been as, you know, significant as it appears to be?
For the top 10 defensive teams in the league, with the exception of Chicago, I haven't done them yet. If you look at the league, top 10 defenses, the average missed tackle per team, they average about 15 guys per team missing a tackle, and the average missed tackle yardage, when you total everything up, is I think 9.2, and we're at I think 10.1. So when you look at it, it's about the same. The number one defense in the league is Arizona. Number two is Minnesota. Minnesota has 500 yards of missed tackles, and I think we have 372. And so we actually fall in line with the top 10 defensive teams as far as number of players that miss tackles, the number of yards, the average per yards, and what goes on. So, yeah, I do follow those numbers.
You talked about the inability to finish games. Mm-hmm. You said, you know, we have to execute better in money time or goal time, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. How do you get players to make that jump where they go from not making those plays to making a key play to win you a ball game?
That's what it is for me. And how I've tried to explain it to the players is, put it in simple terms, when teams will drive the ball somewhere. You know, they get on average 11 drives per game. And you've got to stop them somewhere on a certain amount to get three and outs. For us, how we're trying to tell our players is, it comes down to teams are going to move the ball somewhere. Field goal kickers, usually when they get to the 35-yard line, they're in field goal range in today's NFL. We've got to make them kick field goals down there versus scoring points down there in the red zone. To me, that's where the plays are made. And sometimes the plays are not necessarily a turnover, but it's a third down stop in the red zone to make them kick a field goal, and there's a four-point swing there. To me, there's where your big plays are made. And sure, you want, you know, picks and fumbles and touchdowns and safeties and all that, but sometimes it's just as important to make a third down stop in the red zone as it is to get a turnover. And those come from what you do in practice field. It's kind of when we came back to talk about Jamie Collins, how he practices and how every play is important. And that's where your big plays come from. And sometimes it's as innocuous as, wow, we got third and eight, and they got seven, they kick a field goal.